Welcome to this week, Authentic Life with Grace. I am so excited that you're here. This is a place where we explore how we can respond to the cries of the cities and advance God's heart for resolution in our day. This week, we're going to dive right into our theme for this week, the seed to godly fruitfulness. And that it will bring restoration and renewal in our world. The key is that we have to participate to get the manifestation of it. You see, in the midst of cries of the city, there is a cry echoed in the streets, and that God has given us a solution and a mandate that as a child of God, we can take hold and we can activate it. And so activating our engagement in God's purpose. Now, each of us has a vital role to play in advancing his kingdom in these last days. Let's unpack what it means to move from being a seed to bearing godly fruitfulness. You see, this is a divine grace that is available to every child of God to dwell in and to activate the power of fruitfulness. But however, the adversity, he seeks to convince many that their lives cannot be a significant impact or achieve maximized results in life. So let us always be mindful that Christ came to liberate the captivity, empower us to accomplish extraordinary victories. So our spiritual inheritance speaks of the greatness within us and empower us to embrace the challenge and master them with excellence. You know, in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 28, it tells us that God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, we must understand that if God did not want us to walk in fruitfulness, he would have never said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. You see, life begins as a seed. Your existence originates from a seed before you emerge into a living reality and a human vessel commissioned to embody Christ in a dark world. You see, when we embrace our destined place and purpose, we demonstrate the effectiveness of being the light that intentionally manifests the kingdom. You see, we were never commissioned to manifest religiosity and traditionalism. So fruitfulness originates from God himself. And when we attempt to navigate life without him, the full potentials and not only that, the provisions of fruitfulness cannot manifest as intended in the life of a righteous man. Your life is designed to reflect the law and the power of fruitfulness. In other words, our spiritual DNA, it has been has crafted us to produce fruit that mirrors the character and the attribute of God. You see, the enemy primarily aims to deceive man with toxic thoughts, leading many to doubt the accessibility of grace for fruitfulness and allow this grace portion to do wonders and release the mighty works of God. In Exodus, the first chapter, verse 7, we see that the children of Israel was fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. There's a power locked inside of you is ready to change your story, raise the change how you flow in life, And then you begin to witness the goodness of God in such a way that others would marvel. And your community would change. And your nation would change. Because God found a man or woman, or regardless of gender, that go and literally lay out a legacy mosque that others can use as a pattern to live by. In Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8, it tells us that the book of this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so for the scriptures that say good success, there must be a bad success. But we strive to operate in that pre-dying of God, because we know if we are in the pre-dying of God, then we're going to get the blessing portion. You see, a great illustration is found in the story of Joseph. As recounted in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 to 50, Joseph's life exemplifies spiritual and physical fearfulness in several ways. Fearfulness in adversity. Joseph, he faced maturity. Let me say it like this. He faced a number of challenges, including being betrayed by his brothers, being sold into a slavery, and wrongly imprisoned. In spite of all of these hardships, Joseph remains faithful to God and demonstrate a strength like no other. He continued to trust God and God's plan for his life. And ultimately, he was raised to the position of authority in Egypt. Another way, it was fearfulness in character. You see, through his trials, Joseph displayed exemplifying the character traits such as integrity, forgiveness, and humility. His steadfast and moral conduct was not earned him favor with God. It was not only earning him favor with God, but it also with those around him, eventually leading him to a promotion and success. You see, when those times that you jacked up, you messed up, and you just say whatever you want, you could be hijacking your promotion. You could be hijacking your success. You see, allowing distorted views and displays of character, it hinders us from attaining God's best. The enemy seeks to influence many to believe in and accept what he's concealing as the only truth that they have. You see, however, our awesome and unmatchable King, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he sees everything clearly. And we should never play hide and seek with our Lord, because we'll never win. He knows all, he sees all. Another fearful myth that we can find in Joseph's life, it is his administration. You see, as a ruler of Egypt, Joseph used his administrative skills and wisdom to prepare the nation for a severe famine. His foresight and wisdom management during the time of abundance ensured that Egypt and the neighboring lands were sustained through the years of scarcity. He is not walking around through the land saying, oh, the economy is broke, busted, and can't be trusted. You see, a lot of things that we go on in life is because of what we've been saying. The question is your words aligning with God's plan and his word? The next fearfulness that we can see in Joseph is reconciliation. Joseph ultimately acted as fearfulness was seen in his reconciliation with his brothers who had betrayed him. Instead of seeking revenge, Joseph forgave them and extended mercy. This act of reconciliation brought healing and restoration in his family. other words, it's showcasing the transforming power of forgiveness. He's not keep on saying, yeah, I love you, but you, I know what you did to me. No, no. He was determined to see his brother through the lens of God. In other words, how will you act? What will you say? Another fearfulness we see in Joseph's life is legacy. You see, Joseph's fearful life and leadership left a lasting legacy. In other words, his descendants, the tribes of Israel, grew and prospered in Israel. But however, Joseph's story serves as an enduring testimony of God's faithfulness and sovereignty in fulfilling his purpose through the lives of his chosen servants. You see, Joseph's life illustrates the principle of spiritual and physical fruitfulness through unwavering faith, righteous character and effective stewardship and reconciliation and a lasting legacy of blessings. So his story inspires dominion believers like you and I to trust God's plan, to preserve through adversity, and to cultivate a life that bears abundant fruit for his glory. You see, in Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 7, we see. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundance in the earth and multiply in it. And in Genesis, the 17th chapter, verse 20, it tells us, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will bless him fruitfully and will be multiply him exceedingly. So God is saying, I'm going to make you a great nation. And so to bear godly fruitfulness, we must shift from religion experience to kingdom lifestyle. It is not about the things, the traditional monuments and the traditional way of thinking. It's about living out of the value of the kingdom in our everyday life. You see, a kingdom mindset requires intentional and authenticness. It means of aligning our thoughts and actions with God's truth and walking in his love. When those who come and oppose the plan of God on your life and hit you with a curveball, you still remain steadfast in the character of God and pour love on them. You see, our prioritizing the kingdom principle must be in that place that we are so determined to release the seed of transformation everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Regardless it's hard waters, hot waters, cold waters, warm waters, atmospheres, seducive to the created abilities of God, or they are those environments that is resistance. Another biblical example we could look at is Nehemiah. We see Nehemiah had effective leadership in action in the midst of opposition. Nehemiah, his approach offered valuable lessons to us today. You see, Nehemiah, he relied on God. He respected opposition. He reinforced weakness. He reassured the people and refused to quit and renewed strength continuously. His unwavering faith and perseverance inspires us to overcome challenges and fulfill God's mission. You see, as we conclude, remember that each one of us have a unique role in God's kingdom story. Let us respond with the cries of our city with compassion, with faith, and with action. And together we can bring about divine renewal and restoration to our communities and to our world. You know, I want to thank you for joining us this week at a Thunder Life podcast like no other. And if you've been inspired by this week's episode, I want you to share it with others. Stay tuned for more empowering messages. Until the next time, may we all emerge as carriers of God's kingdom and agents of transformation in our day. And if you have not already subscribed, I encourage you to do so. This is a small way that you can support our channel and stay informed on new contents as soon as they are available. Let's dive deeper, reach wider, soar higher in fulfilling God's plan and purpose for our lives, and be a beacon of light and intentionally pour out his love to everyone we encounter. And together, let's illuminate the world with his grace and his truth and his light. Love you all. Be blessed. Shalom, shalom.